The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I always play these type scenarios out in my head.
Oh my God!
When the moment of truth comes, it's when you can come up big.
Damian Lillard, it's Dame time. Take one.
Here's Lillard again from the logo.
What time is it?
It's Dame time.
Jalen Rose, I'm
what
David Jacoby. We are in studio. What is it that we do?
We give the people
what they want.
Jalen Rose, it is Dame time.
It is Dame time.
Dame Lillard joins us on behalf of Tissot Watches. Dame Lillard joins us in the building. This is our first day in studio together since the pandemic. So happy to have you join us on the program. Thank you so much, Dame. Appreciate it.
I appreciate y'all having me, man.
We just got word. We got the Tissots. Jane Tissot.
Shout out to my dog Jamal. You know what I mean? He keep everything right, dog. That's my guy.
Dame, we just received word that one of your former teammates, LaMarcus Aldridge, has officially retired. He played with an irregular heartbeat. He's decided to retire. Hearing this news, what is your reaction?
I mean, I was shocked, you know, to see it. I just saw it on Twitter literally as I was setting this up. And, you know, I immediately reached out to him. You know, he's had a great career. And, you know, obviously my first 3 years in the league and we had a really good run together. We was close to, running it back. But to, you know, health is always first. You know, he has two boys and he has to make sure that he's healthy, you know, and around for the long haul to be there for them and for his family. So, you know, hopefully he is healthy and hopefully, you know, things will work out for the best. But I think in a situation like this, basketball is the least of his concern and everybody else's concern. So I'm sure it's a tough decision for him, but I'm glad he made the decision in the best interest of him and his family.
Well said, and he's had a terrific career. That man get buckets with mm-hmm. the best of them, mid-range all sure. day.
For sure. Mid-post, left
Absolutely.
Side.
Absolutely. Turn around off right the shoulder all day. Rinse and repeat.
I know it very well. It's time, man. It's time for the Blazers to retire number 12, man. You know, he had an amazing career in the Trailblazer uniform. You know, I think everybody was expecting him to return and, you know, he ended up leaving and it was kind of like, you know, people felt some type of way about it. But there's no denying the kind of career he had in Portland and what he meant to this city. So I think that's the proper respect, you know, to retire that jersey because of, you know, who he was and what he did for this organization.
You hear that, Blazers? Time to retire LaMarcus Aldridge's number. Your Blazers now sit at the sixth spot currently in the West, and we know you've dealt with some injuries throughout this season. Recently, Luka and Mark Cuban have come out and talked about their disdain for the playoff play-in format. What are your thoughts on it?
I thought last year it was not just because we benefited from it, but I thought last year because it was a different type of season. We needed to find ways to keep people engaged going into the bubble. And we needed something to spark people's interest. You know, it was going to be no fans. You know, we were continuing the season at a different time. And I thought it was, you know, one of the highlights of going back to the bubble is, you know, that play-in tournament. And I think, you know, doing it again in a normal season, I think it's really a test run, honestly. Just to see how it'll play out. You know, it's an opportunity to get fans engaged once again. It's something to be excited about. That's a part of the playoffs, but it's also like before the playoffs. So I think it's a nice little wrinkle to throw in there. But if you are a team that fights hard for that 7 and 8, and then you gotta go into a play involving two teams that just didn't make that top 8, you know, I would be irritated too. Like, we're a team that could possibly fall into that scenario again. You know, obviously you don't want to be one of those teams. You know, you basically got to fight for a top 6 seed, or you basically playing from the outside. So I understand their frustration.
We all saw Luka's buzzer beater last night. He's had a couple moments like that in his career, but there is no one,
Jerry
West on their chest,
that has more clutch
and has more clutch basket than you. We all know what Dame Time means. We all know what Dame Time means. So I have a two-part question. Number one, what does it feel like when you have the ball in your hands in those moments, and how did that create a partnership with Tiso?
I mean, in those moments, I always tell people it's I don't really have any feelings. You know, I'm going into those situations prepared to succeed. You know, I always expect the shot to go in. I always expect to come through for my team. And I also know that I'm not just doing it on, you know, any false level of confidence. I really train myself for it, you know, in the summer, even throughout the season, you know, in our off days, the days that, you know, I go home after practice, I still go back to the gym. And even if it's just light stuff to keep my game sharp in the middle of the season, if I'm making some fadeaways, some step backs, some deep threes, 50 to 100 free throws, ball handling, just things to keep my game sharp. I think I've figured out how to keep myself sharp and prepare myself to succeed in those situations. And when I don't succeed, like our last game against Boston, we was down 1. I miss a step back jumper. Jason Tatum hit a 3. We go down 4 with no timeouts. And, you know, it just didn't work out. But it happens that way. But when I'm in those moments, I'm prepared to succeed. And I think that's why more times than not, I come out on top. And I, you know, it's the tap in the wrist. You know, the whole Dame Time thing is what brought the partnership from with Tiso. And they've done a great job in, you know, honoring sport and playing a major role in basketball and the commitment to basketball. So the fact that it's stylish, it's an affordable watch. And a lot of my partnerships, you know, it has to be in line with who I am and the things that I value. And it's the reason why my shoe with Adidas is at a certain price point. And, you know, this being an affordable watch, a stylish watch, and something that, you know, I would genuinely wear, you know, something that I would wear with, you know, my outfits and, you know, wear casually. It made perfect sense. And, you know, it was time. You know, the fact that I've been tapping my wrist for 7 years when I hit a big shot, and people have been asking me about when you gonna do a watch deal and stuff like that. You know, we just had to find the right partner and we had to bring it to life. So I'm excited to bring it to life.
Dame, you've been a terror, like Biggie said, since the public school era. But when people start talking about the MVP candidacy, I have to stand on top of the table and interject your name. Why do you feel you're overlooked constantly in that conversation?
Honestly, man, I think because I don't think it really fits. You know what I'm saying? I don't play in a big market. And I know everybody says that, but I think that's part of it. I don't play in a big market. I'm not a loud person. You know, I don't go out there and I don't celebrate after everything that I do. You know, I don't make crazy statements. And people get bored with consistency. You know, I think every year is like, if you look at my career, every year I find something to get better at. I find a way to make my team win. And I don't make a big uproar about it. You know, I don't do nothing crazy to draw attention to myself. I just get the job done. And I think this year with so many injuries and people missing games, and when you consider the circumstances of each guy in the race, what each guy's team has had to deal with, I feel like I'm right there at the top. You know, I feel like I'm really in the mix for it. And when you consider how people are defended, you know, I watch a lot of NBA games. I watch a lot of NBA games. And I just feel like the people who would, you know, have a vote for MVP or talk about who's MVP and who's not, you know, I don't feel like everybody really watched these games, because if they did, they would see how I'm being face guarded full court and double teamed near half court and trapped and things like that, to where some games I can't even get shot attempts up. You know what I'm saying? So they looking like, oh, we had 15 points or 14 points, but I was 4 for 10 because I literally can't find a look at the rim. So I think when you consider all those things, you know, what does the MVP look like? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you making a case off of? Because a lot of people, like I said, are just not being defended the way I'm being defended. Mm-hmm. And I think I have a stronger case this year than I ever have. And I think I'm deserving of it. You know, that's just mm-hmm. the truth.
Facts. And the injuries that your team has dealt with and where you are has truly been remarkable. And you've really put this team on your back and carried them through those injuries. It's so good to see you guys close to being fully healthy. So yeah. I always listen to the OGs, and Dr. J, Julius Erving, came out and said that the Nets are trying to buy a championship. What do you feel about that sentiment?
I didn't see him say that. But I mean, I think that's just the era that we in. You know, that's the era that we play in. I think a lot of the media outlets are to blame for that. You know,
you
talk about every guy that doesn't win a ring. You see how they talk to Charles Barkley, who was a legend. You know what I'm saying? This dude was cold. You know what I mean? And was an MVP and number one in the West, and just happened to lose to Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you got these dudes putting so much pressure on everybody. Oh, he did this, he did that, he did this, he did that, but he didn't want a ring. And then when they start saying, all right, I'm gonna make sure I get a ring. Mm-hmm. And then what can they say about me? And then when they start to do it, it's like, oh, they, you know, so I understand what he's saying. Like, y'all know how I feel about it. I still don't think, you know, it should be, you know, 3, 4, and 5 of the best players on the same team, because like, what are you, at the end of the day, you should win, you know? If we're really that level of a player and you got 2 and 3 more on the team, which you probably should win. But I think it's the pressure being applied to them and what's being said about them that makes them do it. You know what I mean? So I think he does have a point. I understand what he's saying, but I mean, you got to look at why guys just all of a sudden started doing it.
I blame fans and media because they dumb down the accomplishments of the regular season. Most people try to act like the regular season is irrelevant. And then when you want to compare players, all you do is ring count. That's what ends up happening. People just ring count. Hey, who's the best? He got this many rings. But since you're a competitive person, I can't let you get out of here without asking you this. Because I know you pay intense, close attention to the versus battles.
Yeah.
What athlete, past or present, would you like to enter a versus battle with?
What athlete, past or present? I don't know. I'm not sure what athletes like put out.
Shaq.
I mean, me and Shaq already, we'll be basically watering it. It'll be watered down. We already had our little,
they already did.
Our little thing. I think the way me and Shaq did it was like, you know, it was as big as it could have been. I think it would be cool to do a versus battle at some point. But like, other than Shaq, I don't think nobody has put out, or Iman Shumpert maybe, has put out like enough music. You know what I'm saying? I think, because of how long it takes you to break through as a athlete that does music, and for people to actually listen and learn your music, we'd be up there doing the verses and we'd be like, oh, this is a hit. And everybody else would be like, this is their first time hearing it. You know what I'm saying?
Dame, thank you so much for joining us on Jalen and Jacoby. Thank you appreciate so much for the T-So watch. Appreciate it.
Show, man.
We'll be back with much more.
BRX, man. T-So.
Stay tuned.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by T-So, official watch of the NBA. Visit www.tisowatches.com. Tiso, this is your time.
Come coming to you live in studio above the Heineken Riverdeck here at Pier 17 in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, every day there's a segment where you can decide what we discuss. It is called Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, meet you and Meth Man, jump in the minivan, and keep it moving. And we start with the big game last night. Joel Embiid absolutely dominated the Nets. What do you think about the MVP candidate's dominant performance?
I think if he continues to play on a nightly basis like he played last night, he's going to be a legitimate MVP candidate, though he hasn't played enough games to currently be in the top handful of scorers overall in the league. And he's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been shooting the three more efficient, but you know what he's been doing? Dominating in the paint. Driving the basketball, as you see. Euro-stepping, getting in ones, dunking on smaller lineups. Joel Embiid has been a deserved MVP candidate, but however, for the Philadelphia 76ers, they're going to advance in the playoffs. They're still going to need an all-star level Ben Simmons.
Yes, they are.
I saw Tobias Harris get some big buckets late, and I saw Korkmaz, and I saw Milton playing quality minutes. They're still going to need all NBA Ben Simmons.
You know what I saw? I saw the Nets just doubling Joel Embiid on the touch. I think we'll see a lot more of that moving forward, especially in a seven-game series. Moving on, Luka did it again.
Hit the brakes.
Just watch Luka at the end of the game. Just watch Luka at the end. He didn't even mean to make this shot. He didn't even mean to make this shot. Look at him.
Well, Dylan Brooks got away with the trip, so he actually bailed out the officials because if he doesn't make that shot, I guarantee you the same Mavs that have been complaining about the play-in game, Mark Cuban and Luka Doncic would definitely be complaining after this game.
Facts.
How about that? So Luka saved everybody with this brilliance. Thank you, Luka. We all pay homage.
I mean, how do you even make that? The step backs to win games is one thing, but tripping over Dylan Brooks, falling forward, just throwing it up, making it, he's nuts. I don't know if you know this, but your Pistons got waxed last night by the Clippers. Keep moving, hit the brakes.
Reggie Jackson played well in his return. It was great to see him hit a game winner. It sunk my heart. Keep it moving.
Okay.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Steph Curry did
hit the brakes.
It again. Jalen, 42 points, 11 three-pointers. What is happening with Steph Curry?
So every time there's a list, I'm going to forget somebody. We don't have a researcher.
No.
Just not the smartest human being walking the face of the earth.
What list are you
going to
do
now? I know is this. The reason why people consistently say Steph is the greatest shooter of all time, let me tell you the reasons why. And let me give you some of the comparisons like we were playing the game of Operation.
Okay.
So like Reggie Miller coming off screens. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
How about Larry Joe Bird with the step back?
Yes.
How about Ray Allen with the beauty?
Jordan with the turnaround?
Of his form.
Jordan with turnaround.
How about that, right? So he has all of that, right? And then all of a sudden, he got the wiggle with it. Mm-hmm. Think about it. He got the wiggle with it, Jacob. You know you see him out there wiggling with that thing, right? Yes. Shooting it from 35.
And the layup package.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now all of a sudden, you have him being the most prolific three-point shooter in the history of the league because he plays basketball games and makes 10 threes at least multiple times. So that is incredible. Times.
He's coming for Klay Thompson's record, and I think he's going to get it. Moving on, we have a no-hitter in Major League Baseball.
Hit the brakes.
This is from Carlos Rodon through a no-hitter. What do you think?
He almost had a chance for a perfect game. I'm one of those people when they like breaking news for a no-hitter or breaking or a perfect game. I was watching. Then he hit the batter in the foot. And he still got it. Was kind of anticlimactic.
Oh, come on.
They didn't
celebrate this man's no-hitter.
But Big Shot,
how many no-hitters do you ever throw?
No, I'm just saying, but I wanted him to get a perfect game.
Moving on. Another number one pick has joined the Cleveland Browns. Keep moving.
Cleveland, this is for you. Their pass rush is going to be crazy, but we're going to keep it moving now.
We keep it moving.
Him
we
and Miles Garrett.
Justin Fields held his second pro day.
Hit the brakes on this.
Jalen.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine three teams picking quarterbacks in this NFL draft and none of them pick Justin Fields?
No.
I'm looking at you, 49ers. No. Do not pass on this man. Do not pick Mac Jones over Justin Fields. Don't do it. Do not do it.
So here's what I like to do. Okay.
Okay.
When you've been called Kangaroo Jalen and body shame yourself, I think for public consumption, you have the chance to do this with a straight face. Mac Jones, I'll pay him the ultimate compliment. With his shirt off, he looks like the GOAT, Tom Brady.
He does. Look.
But the bad thing is Tom Brady went in the sixth round.
Well, the bad thing is Mac Jones looks like Tom Brady with his shirt off, also looks like me with his shirt off. And that's never good for a professional athlete, especially someone going in the top three of the NFL draft. Jalen. Sometimes I have to veto and hit the brakes myself because we have Game of Thrones news. Ooh. Not only have I watched the entire television series during the pandemic, I started reading the books. I am 3,000 pages into this book series right now, Jalen Anthony Rose. Carry with me everywhere I go. And they tweeted that winter is coming. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that signifies for the Northmen and the people of Winterfell?
You know, when I see that word, the first thing that came to my mind, I'm a monster. I sleep whole winters, wake up and spit summers. That's what I thought about, a J-verse. That's what I thought about. How about this? I'm Thanos.
Yo, sometimes I'm so embarrassed when I do this show. No idea what you're talking about. Do you know what Game of Thrones is? What's Game of Thrones?
I'm not sure.
You're my favorite. When we come back, we have a very...
Star Trek's cousin.
Just stop. Just go to break. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. I want to thank Dame Dollar for coming through. Gave us watches. And we have exclusive content with Dame Lillard on the podcast. Make sure you check that out. We'll be back tomorrow, ESPN, at 2 p.m.
Don't call a crib from the spot.